Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Alrighty, third hour here on the show. What's going on, everybody? Hope you're hanging in there. Tiki and Tierney coming from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. So, the baseball season is really nowhere near us. The continuation of the NBA season, nowhere near us. College basketball season, done. NHL, who knows, probably the same template as the NBA. I told Tiki yesterday during the show that, you know, Wingfoot, which is the site of the 2020 U.S. Open out in Long Island, beautiful, beautiful piece of real estate, that is being, you know, that's in jeopardy now in late June because to close the course and get it ready for U.S. Open conditions, you need to be able to work, and based on various mandates out there due to the coronavirus, that is not happening, so that might not even happen. It's been a pretty wretched couple of weeks for sports. However, this should make you smile a little bit. This should make you smile a little bit. And I wasn't watching this. It's too young. Teak wasn't watching this. He was too young. But this day, a long time ago, March 26, 1979, was the epic meeting, the showdown between Magic Johnson's Michigan State Spartans and Larry Bird's Indiana State Sycamores. And, of course, we know how that went relatively easy. Michigan State pulled away 75-64. It was the highest, and it remains the highest-rated TV college basketball game ever.
Is that right?
Wow. Yeah, still does to this day. Isn't that crazy?
That is insane. It's kind of awesome, but wow, it's crazy.
Kind of amazing. I think if you actually look at it, though, and you say, well, back in 1979, there was CBS, there was ABC, there was NBC, there was, you know, PBS. I mean, really, what else? What, some people had HBO, but what? I'm not trying to take away from the ratings, you know, extravaganza, but I don't think no matter what storyline played out in the year 2020, I don't think we could ever get that ever. I think a lot of it was certainly Magic and Bird for sure,
yeah.
But a lot of it was the times and just the dearth of options.
Yeah, no, dearth of options, but it's also, you know, the black versus white,
yep.
The, you know, these two iconic individuals at their in these programs that they had made iconic, and that's even lasting till today if you really think about it. Like some of the perceptions of Michigan State and Indiana go back to that era, and so yeah, it's really hard to find a comparable. But there are some, right? There are some that have affected sport in significant ways that I think may surpass it in some regards. And the one that jumps off the top of my head, BT, from a player, individual player standpoint, not teams,
uh-huh.
You know, but an individual player standpoint would be your favorite, which is Phil and Tiger. Think about how many, I mean, and for a while it was just Tiger, right? It was Tiger just brought, I don't know, countless fans into the game of golf. Those who would not have otherwise watched it. And I'm talking about an African-American community in particular, who just wouldn't have turned it on if there wasn't someone that looked like them playing the game. And not only playing the game, but dominating the game in the way that he dominated. But it wasn't when that rivalry started to bud against Phil, that's when it really got interesting. And I think it gained a different feel to golf. because for so long, the reason I never watched golf growing up is because, like, this is boring. Like, there's no, like, you're playing against a score. You're playing against, you know, par. You're not playing against anyone else. There's no emotion. It's a gentleman's sport. Everybody, like, politely claps for one another. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then when Tiger came, he had this, like, fire to him that just made it really compelling. And then you contrasted that with his rivals. Phil was one. Sergio was another one, even though he never really ascended to that elite top level of winning majors.
Vijay Singh.
Yep, Vijay Singh. It just
David Duval for a minute.
Yep. But it made it different, mm-hmm. right? It made it competitive in a sense against other individuals as opposed to competitive against a score to par.
Well, I think that that's certainly fair. You know, I don't know how you attribute. I mean, is it unfair to Tiger to say that Mickelson deserves 30% of that, or is it 90-10 Tiger?
It's probably the latter.
I agree, and I love Phil, but let's keep it real, man.
So when you get it back to the duo, but see, I'm thinking about the duo as one piece of the larger puzzle.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Uh-huh.
The larger puzzle is what brought interest to the sport, right? Magic and Larry brought significant interest to college basketball. Tiger and really whoever brought significant interest to golf. So it's not an apples to apples comparison. And so in that regard, it probably still is Larry and Magic.
It's incredible what they did, you know, and that's the launch point for the modern game. You know, it really is, because they had style. It's funny, even though Larry Bird, his style was definitely not my style. Just the tight shorts, the cheesy mustache, we always kid around. I mean, Larry Bird just didn't really look the part until you stepped on the court. He would rip your heart literally out of your cavity. But Magic had the pizzazz, and Bird had a subtle style to his game for sure. I think that baseball, I'm trying to think of the other sports here, and baseball, you know, whether it's the golden age of the 50s and the 60s with Mays and Mantle and Gibson, into Griffey, you know, up to Bryce Harper, Trout, and all the young studs now, baseball was never, Babe Ruth way before that, was never without a showman. Baseball was never without a pioneer that really elevated it. I think there's a couple of others that come to mind. One is obvious, not in baseball, but in the NBA. Steph Curry, obviously changing the aesthetics of the game just in terms of shooting distance. That's an obvious one. I think Allen Iverson gets overlooked a lot for bringing in a counterculture that really had a real impact and left a mark for millions upon millions of people that really brought them back to the NBA. And I'll tell you the guy who gets glossed over the most, and I don't know why. Kareem, and I've said this a lot, Kareem is the most overlooked superstar in the history of any sport. But the guy who gets overlooked in the NBA for maybe a different reason, bringing coolness and a different vibe and, you know, a legitimization to the sport, Dr. J. Like, Dr. J does not get the love that he probably deserves for incorporating style and making it cool. You know, the finger rolls, the dunks, the sneakers, the afro. You can tell me whatever you want about Michael Jordan's sneaker collection, and we all know he's the king.
Yeah, yeah.
But Dr. J was really the first one. You know, Clyde was literally the first in terms of the Puma sneaker, Clyde Frazier. But Dr. J had Converse in his back pocket, and that was palpable back then. Not nearly of the level of Jordan now with these incredibly cool commercials or then. And, you know, but the poster game, which was big back in the 70s and the 80s, I mean, Dr. J moved merchandise, and in a lot of ways, he still gets overlooked, Teak.
Yeah, he does. But, you know, relative to this conversation, it's like, who was the rival? You know, who was...
Didn't have one.
And so that's...
Because he played in two leagues in part.
That's right. So it becomes hard to find the comparable duo. Baseball, only because of the home run chase, the Sosa McGuire home run chase, yeah, you could stick them there, but it's like such a blip, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like a blip in the history of baseball. And
but you can't ignore it.
You can't ignore it, but it's also been discredited because of the steroid era. So it's important because it absolutely drew interest back into a game after they tried to screw it up, right? And it still sits prominently in your mind. Like, you can see the break-ins and these guys smashing 500-foot home runs, and trying to compete with each other for the title. And then obviously Bonds was in that conversation as well. But so that one, in a sense, because of what it meant to bringing baseball back, sits in the top of my mind. But at the end of the day, there isn't a good comparison to what Magic Johnson and Larry Bird did, especially because it continued, right? And we've talked about this many times. You take the college rivalry and extend it into the NBA. I mean, that just doesn't happen. It's almost storybook. You know, it's almost like it's fake.
Yeah,
one goes to the West Coast, one goes to the East Coast, and you know, two iconic franchises. You know, guess what? They play each other in the NBA finals a lot. So you can't make it up, and so you won't be able to find a comparable.
No, you won't. The other thing you need too is, you know, the circumstances really need to align themselves to give, whether it's a duo or a person, a chance to really have an indelible, leave an indelible imprint. Like, the sport needs to be vulnerable, because mm-hmm. if it's not vulnerable, then the impact that whatever transcendent figure we're referencing might be minimized or not quite felt, because if the sport's flourishing, you might not recognize it with the fervor that you should. So if the sport is vulnerable, first of all, it's got to be vulnerable. And then, of course, you've got to be special. I'll give you one other. It's not a duo. You're right. There's no we can look for duos all day and night. 90% Tiger will give 10. Phil 10% Bone. That's the only thing I could think of. And it's all Magic and Bird. But a single entity that changed the entire complexion of a sport. You got to give Wayne Gretzky some love, man. Mm. When Wayne Gretzky was traded, forget about what he did with the Oilers, which was insane. When he was traded to the LA Kings, I mean, that opened up the door. And, you know, that hasn't worked out everywhere. But for hockey to be born in Arizona, in Carolina, in Florida, and it made hockey. Yeah, he was dating and then eventually married a supermodel. I mean, their wedding was like Tom Brady and Giselle front page stuff. It really was. Wayne Gretzky's impact on the sport, I mean, from a goal-scoring point of view, that's the obvious. But also from a cachet, from an A level, and bringing others to the sport out of curiosity, you got to throw him in there. I think to omit Gretzky on this list would be a disservice to sports.
Yeah, you're right. And Samter just sent me one that we should have thought of, because we've talked about this, and I've talked about it, and I should have known this because my running back coach in college use this as motivation for us in our spring training. Ali Frazier, the fight of the century, which was, you know, the first one in 71, which was won by Joe Frazier, but then the two rematches, the Super Fight 2 and then the one that's most famous, the Thrill in Manila, which was won, both of those last two were won by Ali, and I told you this story, Bettina. It was just awesome. This is like my coach trying to get us to always answer the bell. And, you know, if you didn't watch the fight, you didn't know the history of this fight, then Joe Frazier didn't come out for the final round. So you mm-hmm. always got to answer the bell. That matchup might have been one of the most important ones in the history of boxing, because it solidified Ali as this trash talker who could be defeated, because both of them were undefeated in the first fight, be defeated and then like rise and come with this brashness that you had to pay attention to, and then to back it up and win twice. Yeah, that was pretty epic.
It's a good call. I would submit, although I'm certainly not, you know, any sort of historian on the sport, but, you know, Connors, McEnroe in tennis.
Yeah, good point. Good one.
Brought emotion. That brought, you know, passion. That brought a different type of emotion, to be redundant, to a sport that I don't want to say was emotionless, but at least from the fans, it was just there was a staleness. You know, mm-hmm. it's different. You're not watching a football game when you watch a tennis match. You know, it's a little different there. And I don't see Andre Agassi never really Sampras, I guess, but Agassi never really had a contemporary. I don't think that. I mean, I could be missing somebody that he, you know, challenged time and time again for multiple championships. You know, because what he brought from the marketing point of view, the Nikon, was it the Nikon camera?
Yeah, the Nikon camera. Yeah, that's right. I mean, it was Nikon.
Nikon, right? The fluorescent neon pinks and the different style and the tennis gear and the hair and the earring. I mean, and how about Dion? You got to throw Dion in there a little bit as well.
True. because he was everywhere. He did everything, and he was
in Bow.
Yeah, in Bow. There's a few of them out there.
Mm-hmm. Just no duos, as to our point as That's we started right. this. Magic and Bird, just a gift from the sporting gods, no doubt about that. All right, T, coming up next, Tom Brady's going to Tampa to run Bruce Arians' offense. Is Bruce going to tweak it a little bit? Well, you know what? We'll ask him. He's going to join us next right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
When your battery goes dead, everything could come to a stop. Don't take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help make all your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the brake parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. And right now, for a limited time, save 15% when you buy a set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. Shop online or stop by any O'Reilly Auto Parts store. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line on this Thursday around the country. Hopefully you're doing well. Our number is 1-855-212-4227. That's 1-855-212-4CBS, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote at geico.com. Coming up, Tiki and I will get into the blast. And looks like the son of an NBA star changing college basketball recruiting forever. That's one of the topics in the blast. But right now, we've been looking forward to this. We've had him on many times. Actually, the first guest ever in the history of Tiki and Tierney almost 8 years ago. We're talking about the great Bruce Arians, head coach of the Tampa Bay Bucks, and he's got a new quarterback. He's got, well, maybe new uniforms, certainly new expectations. Bruce, coach, what's happening, buddy? How you doing today? Welcome back.
I'm doing great. Doing great. Hopefully everybody's staying healthy and being smart up there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, no, we are definitely locked inside, broadcasting from home for the last week plus and staying away from people. It's getting a little lonely being at home all the time. BT and I got to socially drink over a radio show.
Yeah, I hear that.
Nothing wrong with that at all. Coach, you know, we speculated for a long time where Tom Brady was going to end up. He ends up down in Tampa Bay with you. And I'm wondering, what was your belief that that would happen? I know you talked about it earlier in the offseason, but what was your belief that it would actually happen?
Well, I never thought that he would actually leave New England. And then as it drug out, you say, well, maybe there's a chance, so we better do our due diligence. You know, look at all the film, grade all the quarterbacks, which we were going to do anyway. I thought as it got closer to free agency, there was no way he was signing, or they'd have already done it. So, you know, we were waiting, hoping that, we checked all the boxes and had a chance.
You know, Coach, did you get the sense that he had chosen you before, you know, all this, you know, started to come to, you know, fruition? Or was this a sales pitch by you guys? Did you have to convince him, I guess, is more the question I'm asking.
No, I think you're exactly right. I think he had a pretty strong feeling about us. It was just basically a long conversation that everything he was looking for, we had. And it was a quick decision.
Bruce, you have your style for sure, and it's been successful. You have your football convictions. Tom has his. He's been married to a certain way for 20 years. How do you guys meet in the middle? Like, do you, from the outset, you know, grant him the, I don't want to say the power, but for lack of a better word, the power to influence what you guys run or how you guys run stuff? How is that going to work out?
Well, you know, I've always given my quarterbacks a lot of leeway and collaborate with them, you know, on playbooks, even game plans. They pick all the plays they want to play. They want to throw in a ball game. They throw out the plays they don't want in the game plan. So that part's not going to change. Mm-hmm. I think for Tom, he's a bright, bright guy. It's a lot easier for him to learn our verbiage than for 21 average learners to learn his. So he's all in on that part. And it's just a matter of, you know, cross our fingers when we can all get together and start playing football,
getting to know the receivers. He's going to know the playbook inside out. It's just getting to know how Chris Godwin runs a route versus Julian Edelman and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's interesting when I think about, you know, Tom Brady walking into that locker room. There's just a respect that's just, it's going to follow him, and there's a work ethic. And I talked to my brother about this, you know, having done a lot of study on Tom. It's like there's just a different feel that a guy like that brings. You know, what impact is he going to have in this locker room? Because his success is unparalleled. The leadership is unparalleled. What can you expect from when that happens?
Now that to me is the most intriguing part. I mean, I know he can throw the football. I graded all the film. Mm-hmm. But when he steps in a huddle, it's a different huddle. And there's an expectation of everybody that's in that huddle to have their shit ready to play right. And great, because that's what he expects from them, because that's what he's giving them. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that part of it excites me more than anything, because we were so close last year. We're 7-9, but we were so close, so many games.
Yeah.
And he's going to bring that confidence that we're going to get this done.
Yeah. You know, I was going to say, Bruce Arians with us here on the show, of course. Bruce, the head coach of the Bucs, and Tom Brady, the new quarterback. But the old quarterback was pretty interesting as well. I know you've got a soft spot for Jameis. And I think, we are, as football fans, Bruce, we can't wait to sit down and watch the Bucs this year. I mean, you and Tom, it's going to be must-watch, and everybody's fired up. But I feel a little deprived as a fan, because I wanted to see where you could bring Jameis over the course of, you know, 2, 3, 4 total years. I mean, what was missing? I know you tried your best, and I know we put up big numbers throwing the football in terms of yards and touchdowns, but what was the one thing that you thought you would be able to change with him that you just couldn't change in the time you worked together?
You know, really, it was, you know, as we do every year, we reevaluate our team, what's best for our organization. Fixing Jameis was one of them, unless something behind door number two we thought was better and we would have to move on. Obviously, Tom, we thought we'd have to move on. For Jameis, for me, it was the last two ball games, the regression back to the interceptions. And he hadn't done that up till he had a nice run going. We had a great shot to get to 9-7. My outside shot at the playoffs, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we lose a couple of games on pick sixes. And it was disheartening, because he had made progress. Then he regressed.
Yeah.
Coach, what do you think happens with Jameis? I mean, free agency is tepid right now for him. What do you think happens with him?
I think for him, it's to get into somewhere as a backup right now. It looks like all the starting jobs are done.
Yeah.
Get in somewhere where he can sit, learn a system, maybe a year for an older person and take over, or get in competition with a younger guy. And because he is a super talented and a super hardworking guy.
Are you confident he can figure out that regression? You confident he can turn it? Because he's still young. I mean, he's only 26 years old. Are you confident he can turn it to the guy?
I hope so for him, because I love the kid.
You know, Bruce, you said before that you graded all the film on Tom Brady and that the arm strength is still there. I certainly don't doubt you. But then why are people who also grade film and do it for a living saying that he's lost his fastball?
I don't know what they're looking at. But, you know, they don't throw the ball deep that much. But when he did, he was super accurate, super efficient. You know, he's going to complete the football. That's what we want also. Now, if that means look deep, take short, I'm fine with that, you know, but still take your shots when they're there.
Yeah.
And in our offense, if it's 3rd and 2 and we get the right matchup, I'm not afraid to throw the deep ball if it's the right matchup. And, but let's continue to move the chains also. And, you know, he and I have had some great conversations about that already. And, you know, he's a really good play action quarterback, and he's gotten really good in the last 3 or 4 years of play action, which is one of our staples. So, We're also a huge empty team where the ball's coming out fast, and I can see him just getting an empty and going right down the field.
You know, Coach, let me take a step back and look at a larger picture here. We had my brother on earlier in the week, and we were talking about, you know, how relevant this makes the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And yeah, there's been some really good players over the years in Tampa, but now all of a sudden it's like, yeah, we got to watch the Bucs, man. We have to watch this. you know, just talking to the Glazers and, you know, the front office there, how important is that piece of bringing Tom to this organization?
Well, I think it's huge. I mean, it's just a shame right now because the town is so excited, but we can't do the things we would normally do, have him in person somewhere, have the big, you know, welcoming party. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's huge. I mean, the schedule is going to be different. We know that. We're going to have some primetime games. All that comes with a guy like Tom Brady. And then hopefully somebody like Levante David gets the credit he deserves.
Yeah. No, you're right. And Shaq Barrett, you know, obviously continues the season he has. And the, you know, the Chris Godwin, who was second, I don't want to say second fiddle, but you know what I mean. Mike Evans is who everyone talks about. But Chris Godwin had a ridiculous year. Perriman had a great end of the season as well. There were some great stories down in Tampa, but they kind of got overlooked because the eyes weren't always there. Now, with those eyes, Bruce, comes scrutiny as well. I mean, there's a – Your offensive coordinator, I love Byron Leftwich, is the man. A lot of people are going to be looking at him on how he, you know, I put this in quotes, coaches Tom Brady. What's that type of relationship? How is that going to be managed?
I think that's going to be super easy. They've already had some great conversations, and I mean, Tom will talk ball, and Byron will talk ball for days.
Yeah.
So I mean, that'd be a great marriage, And so I think. Between Clyde Christensen, Byron Leftwich, Tom Moore, and myself, Tom's not going to have any questions unanswered and on how we do things and how we like to have things done.
Yeah.
And also, give us your input. You know, we run these certain routes. How did you run them? Do you like certain guys doing it? We like to have everybody do it, you know, that type of thing. That to me is great. Fun coaching, because that's collaboration with some of the greatest minds ever.
You know, Bruce, back in the day, and we're talking to Bruce Arians, of course, the head coach of the Tampa Bay Bucks, and Bruce with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Back in the day, and I don't even mean like back in the day, I mean like, you know, maybe like even as recently as 10, 12, 15 years ago somewhat, teams had a chance to kind of find out who they are and try to gel a little bit. And now all of a sudden, and this comes from the NBA. Well, okay, you got new players. All right, you got to go win the championship. Got to get to the Super Bowl. Got to get to the NBA Finals. Is this team, I know you won't flinch at the pressure. That's just not your style. But is the roster fully ready yet to vie for a Super Bowl?
Oh, I don't know about that. Yeah, I think the playoffs for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get the playoffs, Super Bowl's viable. You know, we embrace it. So we talk about it, and then we'll put it to bed. Let's go to work. But I mean, our football team was 7-9, and if our last meeting, every player in that room knew we should have been playing in the playoffs, and it was all about turnover margin.
Yeah.
You know, we were plus 14 or whatever it was, 13, 14, and if we got that to even, we're playing in the playoffs.
Oh,
talent
no doubt.
Won't be the issue.
No
talent
doubt.
Will not be the issue whether or not we get in the playoffs.
What uniforms are you guys going to be wearing next year? You going to jump over to the creamsicle ones? Come on. What do you tell us, Coach? What are you wearing?
No. I'm buttoned up on the uniforms, man. I got trouble for that already.
Hey, Coach.
Who cares? You don't care.
Yeah, I know. When I go down there, we'll have some whiskey. I'll come back and I'll tell you, BT.
Yeah,
hey,
exactly.
You know, Coach, is there anything else that is going to happen in this offseason? Because there's speculation that Antonio Brown wants to come down there and play with you. Now, you know him a little bit, obviously, from the Pittsburgh Steelers days. What's the likelihood AB gets back in Tampa? Because I know he has, or at least Tom has had an affinity for him because of his work ethic. You know, forget all the other antics, but just how he works on the field and in practice. It's top of the line.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
There you go.
Not gonna happen. There's no room.
Yeah.
You know, and probably not enough money, but it's just not going to happen. It's not a fit here.
Interesting. Well, there is room though, because you lost Perriman. I don't know if he says I'm coming in on the veteran minimum, Coach. I just want to play with Tom. You still wouldn't find a way to get him in?
No.
Wow. Is it just because you don't trust what he could do to the culture? Why so steadfast that you would not give it a chance?
Yeah, I just know him, and it's not a fit in our locker room.
I don't think you need to say anything else. You're not a fan. Understood. Thanks. Gotcha. Okay.
Good.
I don't blame you. I've said the same thing. I wouldn't risk it. I really wouldn't. I would not risk it. All right, so we got a good answer on that. No Antonio. So all the rumors out there, tap the brakes. You just heard from Bruce Arians. Not happening. Not good for the locker room. Not good for the culture. Antonio Brown not going to the Bucs. So stop with the nonsense. Right, Deke?
I agree. Coach, we appreciate you.
Yeah, for
we're
sure.
We're hitting a little long here, but good luck next season. It's going to be fun to watch this thing transpire and hope you and the family and everybody stays safe through this uncertain time that we're going through with the coronavirus. But we're looking forward to you, and thanks for hopping on with us for a couple minutes.
Oh, you know, man, I think football's the best medicine for this virus. So,
yeah.
You know, that's why I'm pulling. Let's have the draft. Let's put smiles on people's faces that are going through tough times right now. And God bless everybody that is. And it's tough times don't last. Tough people do, baby.
That's right. Great ending right there. That's well said. Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks.
It's awesome. Well, I tell you, there's no shade of gray with the Antonio Brown stuff.
Yeah, I'm not.
I mean, that's the news right there. Nobody's gotten that. I mean, that was
nobody's asked.
He's not coming.
You
that's what
ask.
He just said. I know.
You got to ask, and we ask.
And every day, you know, even on CBSSports.com and ESPN and the Big Lead. Well, Antonio Brown to the Buck rumors. Head coach shot it down. Not happening. Great question, T. Good job, man. Good job.
Bruce's fam, we know that
he's the man. He's absolutely the man. He dropped the curse. We had
you guys didn't get to hear it, but it was epic.
And it's so funny because it's just so conversational. Like, it's not for effect. It's just Bruce being Bruce.
That's how he talks.
All right, coming up here, I mentioned this before. The son of an NBA star, is he changing college basketball recruiting forever? We'll hit that in the blast and more, of course. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
And away we go. Fox Sports' Jay Glazer says there's no chance the Niners trade for Odell Beckham Jr. this offseason. Remember, there were some rumblings about that a year ago, and you never know with OBJ. It seems like he's going to have one of those very transient careers, despite all the talent bouncing around a lot. But can OBJ be successful in the land?
Yeah, I think he can. At the end of the day, though, he's got to be healthy and content. And he hasn't had either of those in kind of maybe except for the first couple of years, maybe. Not even his first year because he missed 4 games. Maybe like his second year. So can he? Yeah, I think he can, but he's got to be both of those things. It's conditional for me. You know, I hate to put that on OBJ like that or Odell like that, but everything comes with a condition with him.
I think he's earned those conditions. I don't think that he's earned anything without conditions at this point. I just don't. I mean, even last year, you know, with the stupid watch, and I know it's not a big deal, but it is, though. It is when all these little teeny things add up.
Yeah.
It shows an inability, or more specific, because he's a smart guy, not an inability, an unwillingness to conform. And it's a team sport, and you got to conform. I know you want to be an individual and push the brand. I get it. I'm not mad at that, but he's got to show that he fits in. And when he's not getting the football 8 or 9 times a week, he's cool. You know, as long as they win. Can he be successful in Cleveland? I think sure, short term. I just don't see him anywhere long term. I just think he's going to be bouncing around until he loses his skill entirely, and then nobody will really want him. That's how I see his career going.
Yeah, and that's a shame because he's such a talent.
That's
unbelievable
right.
talent.
No doubt about it. All right, the Bengals are reportedly open to keeping Andy Dalton for the 2020 season. Is that a wise move? Well, listen, they know Andy far better than we do. All the reports, and I remember interviewing him once years ago. He's a really good guy.
He's awesome.
He is. He's a diligent pro. But you would have to know for sure that he is amenable to being a transitional quarterback and a guiding force in the quarterback room, and he'd be okay kind of holding his hand and having the training wheels like Kurt Warner did with Eli. Otherwise, I wouldn't bring him back.
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting. If we dig into this just a little bit, not a ton, but just a little bit, if they're talking openly about keeping Andy Dalton around, he's basically on one year left on his deal, $17.5 million he's making. They can cut him tomorrow, and there's no consequence. There's no dead money on his deal. And you would think if you're going to keep a veteran like that who wants to be a starter, and I know this because I did the Bengals-Browns game last year for CBS, he wants to be a starter. It was like one of the hardest things of his career to bite his tongue and sit behind, I forget the backup quarterback's name now, from NC State, but he sat behind him for a few games, and it was torture on him. He wants to be the starter. So if they're talking about this, keeping him around, it might be that they're contemplating not taking Joe Burrow at number one and instead taking Tua Tagovailoa, who we know is going to have somewhat of a redshirt season in his rookie year. I mean, that would make sense. Is it worth keeping him around? I think, yeah, because he's a competitor and he wants to play. I think Zach Taylor made a snap decision. It was wrong last year to put him on the bench. He put the blame that wasn't all on Andy Dalton. So I think he can still play. Just, you know, the circumstances around that are going to be interesting to watch play out.
Okay. David Fizdale stuck up for former Nets head coach Kenny Atkinson after Atkinson was unceremoniously dumped about a month or so ago on a Saturday morning, despite the Nets still being in the seventh seed and really not having Kyrie Irving for most of the season, not a second to Kevin Durant. Here's what David Fizdale said. To see that happen so abruptly, when it happened, the way it happened, it was a kick to the stomach. Does the coaching brethren have too much blind faith in one another? Good question. Go ahead,
yeah,
T.
Yeah, it is a good question, but I don't think this is necessarily about blind faith. I think this is just about the mechanism and how it happened. The Knicks woefully misplayed this, and it was, with Fizdale, the Knicks did. And so with Kenny Atkinson, it was kind of the same situation.
Wait, what do you mean the Knicks misplayed it with Fizdale? Fizdale didn't do a good job.
I know, but how they handled it. When
Steve Mills came out 10 games into the season?
Handled it, it was misplayed.
Okay.
And so when the Nets kind of did the same thing to Kenny Atkinson, it's not blind faith in the coaching and coaching brethren. It's like there's a way to do this so that you save some face. And it seemed like the Nets and the Knicks didn't even care about that. And that's you don't want to see that happening around the league.
I think there's two different answers. Is the coach employed currently, or is the coach not? I mean, and in the case of Fizdale, he's not. He's obviously an analyst. I think he said this on ESPN, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's going on there, and he's going to recraft, not that he needs an image overhaul because he's genuinely well-liked, but, you know, he's got to kind of hit the reset button a little bit. So he's going on these debate shows, and he's talking about the league here. I have no problem with that. I think that's good TV. My issue is when, you know, Popovich did this and Steve Kerr did this. They weigh in, Kerr, 3,000 miles away on Fizdale. You know, Steve Kerr wasn't watching the Knicks. I was. And I was watching Fizdale. And again, I like him, but the man did a horrendous job coaching this team. I mean, his substitution patterns were awful. His timeout decisions were wretched. He did not coach his team well. And nobody could tell me otherwise because I watch him. So for Pop and Stan, even Stan Van Gundy chiming in, stay in your own lane. You know, I mean, please. It gets a little old here. Everybody thinks they have a license to weigh in. If you're going to weigh in, just make sure you're right. Because the coaches who defended David Fizdale quite literally were wrong. Kenyon Martin. K-Martin. That is one guy you do not mess around with, man. There is
great.
Nothing soft about that
guy. He filled in for you
cat.
One time when you were away with Man versus Bear.
Uh-huh.
He's just cool, man. He's intimidating as hell, but just cool cat, dude.
It's funny. You don't think that he would have that humorous side or that soft side, but he does because, he coached in the Big Three. Got to, interview him a few times and chat with him. He's so cool. He is very loose. But then when the antennas go up, it flips fast. So his son, Kenyon Martin Jr., declared for the NBA draft. Jr. played at IMG Academy down in Florida last year. After finishing his high school career, he turned down Vanderbilt, so I guess he's a pretty good student as well. Will more players follow this path rather than going to college? I think no. I think it's unique. I think that every year you'll get a handful. Again, when these questions present themselves, I have to answer it based on the totality of the numbers. And there's only so many spots at an academy like IMG. So even if 100 kids wanted to do this, there's not 100 spots. So I don't think it will ever really reflect this seismic shift in circumventing college. There's just not enough spots. So my answer is no. Although, obviously, going overseas, Australia, Brandon Jennings going to China years ago, there's other avenues, but just not as much as people think.
Yeah, I agree with you, BT. I think that there are options now for kids, and pretty soon the NBA, as we all know, and the Players Association are going to make this kind of mute because kids can go right from high school again. But I wouldn't be surprised, BT, if some kids choose to do something like this, even if they can go straight from high school, because they know they're not ready. They just don't want to go to college. So it'll be interesting how this plays out in the NBA, or at least the pre-NBA, over the next few years.
Mm-hmm. Michigan State head coach Mel Tucker, we know this situation with D'Antonian, and got a little strange there. Tucker responds to Colorado football fans on Twitter, so he's engaging them. Does Tucker need to ignore him after his exit from Colorado?
Yeah, I mean, what he needs to do is make one blanket, all-encompassing statement that explains whatever he thinks needs to be explained, and then not address it again. He is no longer the Colorado Buffaloes head coach. He's at Michigan State, and that's what his focus should be on.
I agree. I'm actually scanning down his Twitter page now just to kind of see the context. I mean, if he wasn't keeping it clean, which he did, then I'd say for sure. I think that's probably the prudent thing. One all-encompassing statement, craft something, and move on. But as long as it's done in good taste, and it has been so far, I don't have a real issue with it, but that's probably the smart move, what Tiki said. I would probably agree.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
All right. Man, no baseball. Tonight I love opening night. I love opening day. But then I love just rolls into opening night out west.
Oh, have a couple beers anyways.
Well, I don't want to say it too loud, but the basketball hoop is coming. We're going to set this up pretty soon. They just texted me. They'll be here by 6:15.
Nice.
And that'll be fun. So everybody have a great Thursday. Teek, I'll see you tomorrow, brother. We'll be good.
I will hear you tomorrow for sure.
Oh, that's right. See you then. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.